and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Public comment. Does anybody want to speak now rather than when the agenda item comes up? Thank you. Next item is approval of minutes for the last meeting, which was June 30th. I wasn't there, so I'm not going to move to approve.
I only have one comment, which was a spelling error, which I'll have to check it for the row.
Is it break and break?
Under informational items, it has Jordan Bunker reported on current water levels of water main break. Oh, I didn't see that one. Yeah, that one should be corrected.
Yeah.
And then it says, was been repaired. Either has been or was being.
Oh, yeah. Probably has. I have to review 6 towns worth of minutes, so sometimes I miss things.
Okay, anybody want to move to approve with those changes?
I'll move to approve.
Everybody in favor?
Aye.
Who's in favor? It's unanimous. Thank you. How about the agenda for today?
I love it. I took a motion to approve.
All right.
Wow.
Any further discussion?
We're doing something right.
All right. That's approved as well. Now we have informational items, and we're going to start with the Water District.
Jordan Bunker, welcome back.
Thank you. Good evening, everyone. Jordan Bunker with the Las Vegas Valley Water District. If you'll refer to your bar graphs that I provided. Looking at the 3-month trend, again, you'll notice that the bar for the South Well still isn't there. We're still working on getting that transducer either fixed or replaced. But as you'll see, the water levels are down about 3/4 of a foot since last month. And if you look on the other side for the 4-year trend, they're just down about 4 feet from this time of last year. These readings were taken just yesterday. Other than that, there have been no major leaks or breaks over the past 2 months since we didn't meet last week. So that kind of concludes my report.
So I have 2 things. A few days ago, maybe 3, I was driving past there, and those water tanks that sit up in the air were just gushing water out. And I know that that's happened before. You checked on it, didn't you, Megan? Do you know what that was all about?
I don't think we've had that. We've had many problems, but I don't think that's been a problem.
I was on my way somewhere. I was in a hurry. I didn't stop and, you know, try to turn anything off. But when I came home, like, 2 hours later, it was not doing that anymore, but there was a giant, you know, puddle.
Yeah. So are you talking about the wells or at the tanks? Okay.
The tanks that are up in the air next to the well.
Yeah, you know that the drivers come in and they leave the pump run to fill those tanks, and sometimes they don't get back to the tanks in time before they overflow, and we'll holler at them and ask them to, you know, please turn it off when they leave. But,
okay.
Yeah.
And their water is metered, so they know how much they're using when they do that.
Yes.
As well. But that could be part of why the wells were so much lower when you measured them. Okay, the other thing that I just wanted to bring up was I was driving around town, and there was one of those trucks that don't do anything except have a billboard on them that was advertising how we should be conserving water, and I thought it was pretty inappropriate that they were burning fossil fuels to tell us to conserve water. I think the Water District could find better ways to get that message across to the community.
Okay, that's good feedback. I can certainly take it back. And,
maybe you could put it on trucks that were going out to deliver stuff anyway.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's a good suggestion. I can certainly take that back for sure.
Yeah. Thanks.
Yeah.
Okay, anybody else? Anybody else? Water? No? No.
All right. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Water people.
Thank you.
Metro. Do we have anybody here from Metro?
I know the sergeant is out of town, so.
Do you know of any metro type issues for our area?
I don't think so. We had that fatality on the 15 on Monday. That metro, they did traffic for it. That was a really sad situation. I don't think anything right now. We had an officer at Good Springs last night. He didn't need to report there. So
good. Anybody have any concerns that we need to pass on? Okay, great. Now we have BLM. Josh is here.
Yep, Josh Travers, Assistant Field Manager for Red Rock Canyon.
I'll start with the Legacy Trail. If you're not familiar with the Legacy Trail, it's an almost 40-mile trail network that's going to stretch from Summerlin all the way around the corridor of 159 and go into South Las Vegas. The goal of it is to improve safety along the corridor of 159 and 160, which is a major recreational access route. It's split up into five phases. The current planning phase is phase one, which is Summerlin to the entrance of the scenic drive. We are at 70% design, and the environmental the NEPA document that supports this is almost complete, and that's going to be BLM is slowly reviewing that as it gets presented to us from Federal Highways, and we expect that to be ready to go to the public in mid to late October, possibly early November, depending on how some of this last minute design features get planned out. We're working very closely with Howard Hughes, NDOT, Clark County, and the BLM's involved, of course, there's an intersection where we're trying to get the trail to go from the north side of the highway underneath the bridge at Charleston, so that it connects with an important parking infrastructure that we're planning to build there, with the county's planning to build there, and it's also going to provide an important connecting piece to a trail that's going to be on the south side of the highway. And so once that gets figured out, we'll get really close to finishing the NEPA, and then that's going to be presented to the public as a first phase project.
Can you tell us approximately where that parking area and underpass would
be? Yeah, the parking area, Clark County is going to design and construct that. Right now, we've just got a dot on a map, and it's right on the Summerlin side of the basin.
There's a retention basin there, and there's a big flat area at the top. It's going to be in that kind of area.
Oh, where the campers have been?
No, closer to the school site.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
Do you have any idea when construction is going to start?
For phase one, it's going to be in 2022. The NEPA is going to, once we get through NEPA, depending on the public comment and everything that comes back to us, if we can go straight into construction, it should be, I would say, you know, based on contracting and all that stuff, mid 2022 is what we're looking at for construction. But it all depends on what kind of feedback we get, and if we have to go and do some design change and things like that, which could cause a little bit of delay.
Are you getting mostly enthusiasm from people, or are you getting some people that are really upset?
People are thrilled. People are really excited for the Legacy Trail. It's going to be a really good thing for Red Rock Canyon, the community at large, and it's just going to provide a safer environment for recreation.
Great.
Plus, it's new access to the conservation area, and that's exciting. It's exciting for people to have that opportunity.
You just never know what people are going to complain about.
Oh, they'll find something to complain
about. Leaving Red Rock.
And then the Calico Basin Recreation Area Management Plan is moving forward. We did have an extension on that plan that took us into October, October 31st. We're working very closely with the county. We're doing a lot of work behind the scenes to really make this a comprehensive plan that addresses the management of recreation in that area. Because of some of the work that we're doing with the county, we did extend it one more time to take us to through the end of December, where we plan to have a final draft. So what that means for timeline is we're going to be presenting here in October. We're going to present that plan to the public, get feedback, and work to getting a final management plan by the end of December. And then more exciting news, Clark County awarded Friends of Red Rock Canyon a very nice grant that supports the planning for the Cottonwood Valley Recreation Area Management Plan, and the final confirmation of that award was given to Friends of Red Rock. So I want to thank Clark County for awarding that grant to Friends of Red Rock Canyon, and That's allowing us to get that plan on its feet and going full speed ahead. So we're going to be launching right into that in the next couple weeks. We're going to use the same contractor that we're working with for Calico Basin, just to keep the consistency in our planning and to keep that momentum going. We've got a really good structure, and we plan to carry it into other areas of Red Rock Canyon.
That was part of our OAG grants, which are called outside agency grants, and they're very competitive, and this was, I think, their first year applying, and yeah. It was great to get to be able to fund them.
How much was the grant?
I don't remember.
$75,000.
So where are we with that? I haven't seen any plan. Have we already passed public comment on that one?
Nope. We're going to develop the plan now. What this money funds us, we're going to hire a contractor to author the document, and then the BLM will work with this contractor to set management direction, and then the contractor will take it through the National Environmental Policy Act process. They can work at lightning speed compared to BLM, so we hire contractors to do that work, and then we'll set the management direction for managing recreation in this area.
Good.
And so I'll have lots more to report on that as we launch into that and get that going. And then the other big one is I'm working with a proponent who has presented to this group before. They're proposing a mountain bike race. They're quick and dirty. Is their title. They're planning for 200 participants, and it's going to start and finish in Blue Diamond. And so I just want to present to you that we're working with this proponent and working through the process. They are telling us, and they've presented a plan to us that they say that they presented to you guys and you guys approved. So I just want to...
Well, it wasn't a really approval. I came and talked about it.
Okay. They're under the impression that you approved that.
Well, so. The county is working on approving.
Okay, got it.
But yeah, they came and talked about it.
Got it. That's good for me to know because we're in communication with them. We want them to have a successful event, but we also want to make sure that we're a good neighbor to Blue Diamond and that we're not permitting anything that's going to put stress on your community.
But they're pushing that to next year, right?
We did have them because of COVID-related issues and other things. We did ask that they take that to next spring. And so they're looking at a May 21st, 2022 date for this event. They are planning for a substantial amount of parking in Blue Diamond for this event. And running the race on several of your roads. And so we have told them that they need to work closely with this group and the county to make sure that you guys are all on board with that. But in being a good neighbor, I just want to make sure that you know that we're working with them to make sure that it's going to be a sustainable event.
And I made it clear to them that it behooved them to not be parking on community roads and to make sure their participants park in the parking that they're providing.
I thought those weren't they the ones that came to one of our meetings and there were a bunch of people in the rec hall who said, hey, you know, we think this is great and you should partner with the BDRA and, you know, have your event on our property and give us some financial gain from it or something. Mm-hmm. I wasn't part of that.
That one wasn't at the rec hall. They came when we were over
in the fire station.
Okay, but does anybody remember that or am I thinking of a different event?
So I don't know exactly the areas yet, but they're working with some of the private landowners here. And
they have been talking to
them. And they're finding various parking spaces all around wherever they can put vehicles, and they're getting... Yeah. Approvals from private landowners to allow for parking.
Yeah, so she says that Megan says that they are talking to the BDRA, and that's the critical.
Yeah, that's the other organization. Our little town organization isn't this one.
Okay.
Yeah, but they've been talking to them.
Yeah.
Good. Okay. So that's coming, and then as we continue the planning with them, I'll share more information on what gets presented to us. So you're all in the loop on that as well. Mm. Did you have anything to add?
No.
Okay. That's it for the
Judge.
Yeah.
Is there a certain segment of the county that deals with the Legacy Trail? Like it wouldn't be parks and recreation. Is there as opposed to?
It's really being led by the planning is being led by BLM, Clark County, Public Works, and
It's Public Works.
Public yeah. Works and the Commission Office.
Okay. And what?
Yeah.
And the Commission Office.
Yeah. And the Commission Office.
Yeah. And then Save Red Rock was instrumental in getting the funding for this project. So I don't want to read that.
All right, it's there now. It's good.
So I brought up with Josh and also with Megan my concern about the area at the top of the Cerrito where the old Spanish Trail heads out, that there's been some really heavy vehicle traffic that has just trashed the plantings there. And so I was asking if there was something if we could get some help to get some large rocks to block that off so that vehicles can't go through there anymore, and then also get some help from BLM to do some restoration of that area.
I need to check in with our lands and realty folks, and the question I asked is what kind of access are we mandated to require for the utilities? Because I need to make sure that they have, if there's a right-of-way or something that requires them to have some kind of access, I need to make sure I provide that. But I definitely want to get that closed up for off-road vehicle use. And so I did have one of our park rangers look at it. He took a bunch of photos for me. And then I've asked some questions to our lands and realty folks, and I haven't heard back from them yet. So I'll check in on that
okay.
and make sure we keep that going forward. But if there was some resource damage, I certainly want to get on that. And I did ask friends for their support, and the support they provide us for our volunteer management stuff to get some volunteers ready to go to do some work there.
Yeah, there's every time I walk through there, there's fresh damage, so it's still there's still more and more creosote getting mowed down.
Yeah,
and that's a BLM issue, so I let him handle it.
I know, but
He answered, and I was like,
yeah.
Barbara, you talked about it at the top of Cerrito where the trailhead starts at?
Yeah. Yeah. Have you been by there lately?
You know, not a lot.
Yeah. It started with Nevada Energy getting in there to put in new phone poles, I think. And they just totally took out this.
So that was NV Energy that took it out?
Yeah, and so I'm thinking, you know, we should ask NV Energy to help us do restoration. And so that's part of why we would involve you.
Well, and that's what our lands group, if they did some excessive damage on their access that's far beyond what they should be doing, we'll have them do some work.
There's some private landowners who are using it now that it's been mowed down too. So it's, you know, it's more complicated now. But the longer we put off getting it fixed, the worse it's going to get.
Yeah.
So can you comment at all on the strategies for Calico Basin usage management?
Not yet. We're having a meeting coming up.
Huh?
Well,
what do you mean strategies for usage?
Well, you know, I mean, just like general, like one of the big things that's been talked about has been things like, you know, ways to restrict traffic in there. But what about trail usage? You know, like let's say I haven't heard anybody comment at all on equine access continuing to exist in the basin, for instance.
What kind of access?
Equine horses.
Oh, yeah. Well, equestrian horse use is the history of Calico Basin, equestrian use exists around that, and it's important for BLM to make sure. And we've identified it in this plan as an important resource that we want to protect and ensure that we provide adequate access for that kind of use.
Right.
So the way the plan is broken out is we are addressing, you know, all of the recreation activities that exist in Calico Basin. We've broken them out by the recreation setting that the area provides, and then we go into detail on the types of recreation activities that's happening in there, and then we address it on how it meets the recreational setting, how the recreational experience for the users benefit from that, and then we take a conflict approach where we address where recreational conflicts are occurring, and that's either conflicts between the community, the residents, and recreation that's happening, but also recreation activities to other recreation activities.
So we can look forward to specifics on this, was at the end of this month or the end of next month?
Yeah, so you'll be getting, well, you're going to start, the residents are going to start hearing from us in the next couple of weeks on setting some meetings up to have some conversations with residents.
Okay.
And so, in fact, I would bet this next week you'll hear from us.
So as a resident, how can I be sure that I'm on the right list?
We're going to try to get every single person in Calico Basin.
We are going to send it to every property owner, which doesn't, I don't know if you have any renters there, but that doesn't get renters, and we'll post it on the mailboxes and the bulletin board.
Cool. All right. Thank you, Joe.
And people will still say that they weren't notified. So just so they will still complain that they didn't get notice.
So some residential meetings first, and then we'll go into presenting the plan to the public.
Alrighty. I'm sure there'll be a lot of opinions.
I have no doubt.
I anticipate some positive opinions on this one. I really do.
So thank you.
Okay, thank you, Josh. And next we have Clark Coney, Administrative Services.
And I don't have a whole lot to share with you tonight. I intended to get the update on the Rexius project, and through many things, I wasn't able to get that. They decided to redo our passwords on our computers, and I couldn't get them today, so I'm sorry. The gypsum resources, I'm sure you guys know that the tentative map and the use permit were approved by the commission at the meeting a couple of weeks ago. And that's really all I have for you tonight. I'm sorry, I don't have more.
What about 159 we were going to look at to, a reader board or maybe more signage?
I have not heard back from the NHP sergeant. I'll follow up with him. He was going to look into that. So.
Look into what, sorry? More signage about that there's not supposed to be trucks on 159.
Didn't Sergeant Pickerel say that they pulled over a bunch of trucks and they were all in compliance with appropriate use and stuff like that?
And Sergeant Madsen came from NHP, who is the sergeant of the commercial division. Yeah, he should share that with him.
Not that that's necessarily still what it is, but. Yeah.
So, are you
okay.
done?
I'm
you
sorry. Ask questions now?
You can ask. It's the floor is open. Okay. I will answer what I can answer.
So we weren't able to meet when the gypsum resources issue would have come before us. Mm-hmm. We didn't have a quorum, mm-hmm. so. Some of us showed up, several of the people in the room here showed up and spoke at the commission meeting. Mm-hmm. And I guess I would like to know, I have a few questions. I was surprised that the comments that people made weren't even discussed by the commission. That they just took them in and said and didn't address any of those. And
okay. I guess I will tell you that is not unusual. Mm-hmm. That is not specific to this. Yeah. The comment there, we are fortunate, and I think Sammy can back me up on this, that we get to be more conversational here because we are a smaller board, mm-hmm. and because I let that happen, mm-hmm. which may get me in the butt one of these days. You know, but we are more conversational here. We talk to each other and we're open about that. The board is very structured, mm-hmm. and they do not respond to public comment.
Okay, I had the impression that as long as their attorney advised them that he saw no legal reason why they shouldn't vote for it, then the way it looked to me was like, okay, my attorney tells me that there's no reason I shouldn't vote for it, therefore I'm going to vote for it. And I would want to know that my commissioners think for themselves and don't just do what their attorney advises them to do. So that's just my comment. Okay.
I can tell you, since I work for two commissioners, I can tell you, they don't just go by what their attorney tells them, but they do ask their attorney for input to make sure that they're not going to get themselves into problems. Sure. So just because he said they can vote for it doesn't mean they were going to vote for it.
Okay, but that's
they're just asking, yeah, if I voted for it, would that be okay? Mm-hmm. If I vote against it, would that be okay?
So that's advice. That's how it looked from okay. my sitting out in the audience okay. watching the process.
I can tell you it's not true, but
good. Thank you. And I had a question for you that I asked you on offline, which was if we disagree with an opinion that the county attorney states, which was that, which had to do with the overlay, what can we do about it? I mean, how can we get attention to what we think is a misinterpretation of
You know, Sandy,
I think that it would be fair to have the discussion. I think Megan can take back the comments to the district attorney and figure out an appropriate way to respond.
So there's no review process for...
Well, everyone has a boss. You know, everyone has a boss. So all of our district attorneys in our building are deputy district attorneys. Steve Wilson is the district attorney. So I imagine if I were being asked just a general question, if you didn't like an opinion from a DA, I suppose I would...
It seemed a little loosey-goosey and very unlawyer-like. Well, could you bring that to Mr. Wolfson?
Oh, I don't know him. I'm saying you can take that to him.
Oh, I can.
I don't have the complaint. And the commission doesn't. Well, you guys have
bring
the complaint.
It as our board. If the board had a complaint, that you would present it and say that the Red Rocks DAC... So there really is no avenue that's structured. It has to be an individual
citizen.
If I
had a complaint, or if the commissioner had a complaint, absolutely. You guys, his email address is, I'm sure, on the county website. You could absolutely email him and contact him, just like you could contact any member of staff.
Also, at the moment, we can't say that the Red Rocks AAC wants to forward this because we can't have it's not a voting thing.
Right, it's not on
today's agenda. So it would be an individual thing.
Right.
And it just seems to me, just hearing this for the first time, that maybe it would make sense to call Rob Warhola and have a discussion with him to see what he bases it on, and maybe that would help. I don't know. So
yeah, it's all legal stuff. So mm-hmm. Not being a lawyer, I don't hold out much hope that I'd be able to convince a lawyer myself of how to interpret the law.
I believe. Do you want to address that, Sean?
We're thinking about it. No, not specifically. We were very concerned also. That's how I really got excited when I thought Megan could give some guidance. But
well, I did give you guidance. And
okay,
to reach out to the boss.
I understand that, thank you.
Okay. I'm not going to complain about the county stance to the person who made the county stance. You know?
No, but we can't approach it as a board because it wasn't on the agenda. So it wasn't my thing. I didn't bring it up.
I'm just
sharing. The only thing that's going to really piss me off, and you do not want to get me going on this issue. Right.
Okay, well, I have no doubt in this fight. So I'm just telling you how I would handle it.
Okay.
If I were in this position, that's what I would do.
I think everyone in the county has a dog in this fight because this is a precedent that will just continue to build and build and build.
Speaking as a former member of the board of Red Rock too, it's a little disappointing to hear what happened. I wasn't there, but one of the reasons that we supported candidates that were attorneys that could be on there was because they said that they would go in there and they had their own opinions and they didn't have to turn to a county attorney who certainly Save Red Rock is perceived as been working against the interests and honestly parlaying and working with the developer all through the process, who has actively, worked hand in hand with the developer's attorneys. So it's really disappointing to see him as the one who is then making statements and having our representatives going, oh, well, he, you know, The county attorney said this. Obviously, we can't go against that. So it's very disappointing.
So Megan, if they say that the property is not subject to the Red Rock overlay, does that mean they don't have to follow any of the design standards?
I'm limited in what I'm able to even discuss. But I wasn't a part of that decision. I don't know what went into making that decision. I know that you guys were anxious to hear from the commissioner, and I talked to him about it. And while we are still all in the middle embroiled in this lawsuit, none of us are comfortable. I'm definitely not going to put my career in. Well, I'm not comfortable putting my career on the line for.
That's the part that I need help understanding. Why is it that you're putting your career on the line by answering by answering questions to the best of your ability when there's a lawsuit. I mean,
I am answering questions to the best of my ability, but I can't speculate on things like that. I don't know how he made his decision.
Okay, but you know, well, I asked
how he made the decision. I'm just saying, if he's saying they're not subject to the Red Rock overlay, does that mean they're not subject to any aspect of the Red Rock overlay?
And you know, maybe Sammy can help with that. Sammy says
that's how I understood it. In the sense of his response to the question, I don't exactly recall what was said. I just remember the response saying that they weren't subject to it or it didn't apply, however it was worded.
Yeah, and
in full context, I don't know. I didn't ask about it.
And I totally disagree with that. Right? I mean, I haven't read every word of the overlay, but as I understand it, the point of it is to make guidance that are rules that will create a beautiful and a natural community, right? And so just because it's on land that's already disturbed, why does that mean that it shouldn't apply to the finished product? I totally disagree with that.
And I think because there is no process to address that, you know, other than, I mean, you can go complain to Steve Olson, but you know, really there are groups and lawyers who sue the county over the enforcement, or sue not just the county, but sue government over the enforcement of their own rules. And that may be the avenue that one would have to take in order to get anything, to get a review. And right. And if that's a concern, Save Red Rock, I believe, is actively looking into that to see what can be done.
Well, I'll give you an example that I'm going through right now, not even related to anything with Red Rock, is for projects in areas, in rural areas where there's no municipal water, that any developer is required to put humongous water tanks to serve the fire sprinklers in those buildings. And currently, the fire department will not give a break on the size of the tank. So we have a project that's going to have 1 million gallons of water stored in a tank, which I find abhorrent. So we did take it to the higher authority, because we didn't like that answer. Took it to the director of the building department, and he said no, he would not approve a waiver. So we took it up there, and sometimes you don't like the answer. I don't like that answer at all. But I'm stuck with that. So sometimes, and that's his interpretation.
Yeah, but the difference between those two things is he's actually following the law, whereas our contention would be
It's his interpretation of the code.
Okay.
Because there are
different interpretations.
You could interpret it to allow a waiver.
Megan, when you're talking about these 1 million gallon storage facilities. Is there any restriction as to the source of water for those storage?
Oh, I don't know. I don't know if they're even going to do it, but that's just something that's been discussed.
I've seen it before. I know somebody who built a pretty large mansion in Pacific Palisades in California, the edge of Los Angeles and the ocean, and I think he had to put in a 3 million gallon thing that was all funded out of his own very deep pocket, but I don't remember. I think it was all municipal water, actually, that he had to pay for.
These aren't municipal water. I'm just saying, I get the frustration because I'm dealing with that right now.
At any time, government is always frustrating.
I know. We've got 7 years.
To somebody.
7 years.
Is that the first thing you said after taking your oath of office?
Anyone else want to say anything on that subject?
For Megan.
Okay.
Megan, do you know what this is? I got this in the mail the other day.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
I got
that
today.
Today, too.
Is that if somebody puts a lien on the property type thing, amongst other things?
So everybody knows, it's a sign up for Clark County Recording Notification Service.
Clark County. Oh.
Yeah, sorry, so I'll try that.
Please do, because I
have to. Please introduce yourself.
I'm actually really excited about it. So what I think it is.
Tell them who you are.
Yeah, sorry, so Sammy Rial, Clark County Comprehensive. So I saw the notice the other day go out, and my husband and I looked into it. My husband already signed up. So what it is you hear all of this like deed fraud, how your deed can be taken from you, and they can record something on the property without you even knowing, because you don't get any notice when somebody records something against your piece of property. So what you can do is you can go to the assessor's office, right?
Recorder.
Recorder's office. I was getting confused. because you get assessments.
But, yeah.
So you go to the recorder's office and you can sign up to receive notices to receive notices for any time something is recorded on a parcel. So it's fraud protection, really. I mean, if you get notice after it gets recorded, but at least you get notice when something is recorded. So we did it as a protective measure. You'd be silly if you did, right? It's an easy thing. You go in, you sign up, you put your parcel number and your email address, and then if it works right, fingers crossed, then you'd get a notice when somebody records something against your piece of property. So it's really a layer of protection.
I do know sometimes people, when they go to sell their house and they're going through the change or whatever, they'll find out that there's stuff recorded against their, you know, liens against their property. So, okay. Well, there you go.
Yeah.
Sure. Nothing about it.
Well, thank you for answering
that. Also, not necessarily, you know, for fraud based too. Maybe some, they just messed up a parcel number and the assessor's office, or sorry, the recorder's office doesn't validate. They just go, yep, meets the legibility requirements and we'll record it. Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah. I got that notice today and I thought it was a good thing. It's like, it's kind of, there's those, I don't remember the names of them, but you hear the advertisements for these companies that are basically doing that and expect you to pay for them, which among other things means that you have to go to some private entity and confess that you have property in a certain way. And it's like, you know, whatever's in the public record is in the public record, but they want more than that from you. It's like those credit card monitoring services, where not like TRW and TransUnion and stuff like that, but the private ones that are going to guard against fraudulent credit companies. And you got to give them all your private information to get them to do it, and it seems like sort of suicidal on the financial end of things. And the only thing that I thought was a little lacking on that was, rather than force me to sign up, that one seems valuable enough that I'd rather that I was just automatically signed up and forced to decline it if I didn't want it.
I don't know if they have your email address.
Right.
That's the point, I think. I think you can sign up for email notification. I didn't ask my husband if it was hard mail or email notification.
Oh, so this is an attempt to make sure they grab an email address because it won't come as a written notice?
Again, I don't remember the specifics. I have my husband deal with it. But you know what I thought too is, this legislative session, one of the things that passed was to ensure that any mailing lists that are held by a public agency remain confidential. So a third party can't go and request it for purposes of, you know, sending you mailers, junk mail. So that is confidential, and it is not to be released for really any purpose other than if something.
Even this purpose.
Yes, because that's for the county. You're signing up for the county versus what you were saying, if you were signing up with a private company, then that company can take your information and sell it off to other
right,
people.
Right, absolutely.
So this is doing it direct with the county.
Yeah, I like it.
And with it, because of state law, has embedded protections on your information.
So that's just
another little add.
Of course, if it is email-centric, then since most of us don't really use private email services, suddenly you're into these, you know, Yahoos and Googles and whoever else, they all mine everything in your email.
Well, then don't sign up, Evan. Yeah. I think it's not for you.
Yeah.
No, I think it may be in
your house. I guess the fun thing is, I explained what it is intended to do. I don't know the full details if you receive hard copy, mail copy, if there's an option. I know we do everything by mail because sometimes we're not home.
Right.
So we get the mail, we can work remotely.
Right, good point. Well, anyway, it looks like a really good addition to the service.
Yeah, personally, we were excited about it.
Sounds good.
A really great idea.
So I have a question. The posting location for the agenda is only the Blue Diamond Library. Is that
and
a
that
new
was
change?
Part of the state legislature, yes.
What's the reasoning behind less information for the public?
I don't know what it was. I didn't follow the bill, but it changed it to it's only at the posting location, I think, because in general, most people don't look at them. I know in our small towns, they're viewed more than in Enterprise or Spring Valley. It doesn't mean someone couldn't go post them if you want to. If you get the agenda and you want to put it up somewhere, that's fine. but we are not required to.
And how did they come to choose the library as the posting location?
Because that's the location.
That's where the meeting is.
So when it's held at the concert hut, they're going to post it there and mm-hmm. not here?
Yeah.
Wow. What if you just wanted to get on the email list? Could anybody get on some distribution list
yeah.
for the agenda? What do? They contact
yeah,
you?
Yeah, Laura keeps that.
Yep. Okay. Mm-hmm. So I'll maybe make a note on the Blue Diamond Villagers Facebook that if people want to receive the agenda, they should send you an email.
Yeah. Great. Absolutely. Or if you want to post it on the Facebook, you can do that too. You could post it there.
I don't want to trust myself to, you know,
okay,
to be sure to do that regularly. I'd rather have the professional do it.
You stole my thunder here because on the agenda, it says supporting material provided to the board, council members for this meeting may be requested from our great secretary over there. So I had my number one thing here, since agenda will only be posted on Clark County website and library, can people sign up to get the agenda and minutes electronically?
And they always have been able to. This isn't new. They've always been able to.
Right. But I just wanted to make sure that, right now we have a smaller meeting. Eventually we'll have a bigger meeting where we can, if I can announce it at that meeting too, because we may get people from, not from Blue Diamond, from other
oh,
areas,
yeah, yeah.
That people may want to get it. Because half the time people say to me, like with the Rick Rexius thing a while ago, people go, I had no idea on that because they weren't within the 1,500 feet and whatever. So, not that they necessarily looked at the agenda when it was posted. And that's another follow up. The removal of the Coker Road posting board.
You want it removed?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, you want it removed? Well.
Well, the one side is broken. I've got it taped up, so
okay.
it's not in the best of shape. And the Republic Services, did you?
Republic Services, didn't I tell you that on the phone? I think we talked
well,
about
we're,
it.
Well, okay. We're talking. Yes. What I told you was I talked to the gentleman, you know his name.
Right.
And a couple. What the story was, Republic Services would come. There was one for garbage, one for recycle. So then for like 2 months straight, one guy was showing up and he would dump them both. So I wasn't sure if he was just trying
right.
to...
Was he dumping them both at the same time?
Right in the one. In the one. So I wound up calling up. I said, the one driver told me, he goes, oh, we have two separate areas. We have one with garbage. We have one with recycle. And then we have one with where they dump both of them. And I said, well, that doesn't really seem to be cost effective that people are going to be going through there. So then I eventually talked to the manager of the route, and he said it's supposed to be two trucks. They go through with one, and then they come back.
But it may be the same truck.
Once they dump the garbage,
yes.
Then they come back and do it. So then 2 weeks later, it was the same thing. And then recently, it's been better where it's garbage, then come back and get the recycle.
Right. So what it is, they are called, and I can't remember, I want to say enterprise zones, but it's not enterprise zones. It's something like that. It's for areas that are further out of town, like this area here, like Mountain Springs. So instead of having two trucks going all day, they have one truck do the route, pick up trash or recycle, then do their route again and pick up the other. So they go and dump and then come back and get the other. So there's places in town, it's where they are working on expanding routes or gauging, you know, what route to include something on. So that's what they're
doing. Sure sounds like you wind up with contaminated recyclables.
I have to tell you, the recyclables are contaminated anyway.
That's
people
true.
Are not very good with their recyclables. So that's probably.
I would make a comment on that because up in Reno, where my kids are living these days, they have a really active program to alert people to what goes in and what should be in and what shouldn't be in. If they put the wrong stuff in the recycling, they get notices. There is no effort made. I don't think I've seen anything in 20 years from Silver State about what should be in recycling or what's not.
They do have labels that they put on some cans, and I've heard several like State of Nevada episodes on recycling. So
yeah. Well, like Greg's gotten three notices from the garbage company up there that you know that he is in violation.
Shame on him.
And he's going to get a fine.
You better train him better.
Well, I think I did. You can't put your recycling in a bag.
You aren't supposed to here either.
And how would I know that?
I'll take that.
Totally.
No film.
Well,
no
film. It's your fault. Well, I'll take that back to. But here's the problem. I have had Tony Sincotta, who's the area manager, who is great to work with. I've had him come out to meetings. I don't think he's come here because we haven't had a major problem here. And we get a turnout like this. So he's preaching to the choir anyway. So I don't know, how do you spread that word? You know, because I have people in my other communities that are in an uproar.
Sticker
over
on every,
they have those.
Yeah,
every radio station. You know, so up in Tahoe, Reno, we have this radio station, and it says, "Hey, remember, Christmas paper is not recyclable."
Well,
right, I really haven't seen any kind of effort on the
Christmas paper's not recyclable. Thank you very much.
The garbage company to make any effort to.
I don't know if it's the size. I don't know, but I let him know about that.
I'm telling you that efforts are being made. They just you're not at the top of their list.
I guess not. Right. Well, the thing is, and I'm pretty aware, and I look for it.
Yeah. You can go on a tour of the recycling facility. I highly recommend it.
Yes.
They actually do recycle. That's my question.
Yeah,
I always assume they don't do it.
We have the most state-of-the-art and largest recycling center in the United States.
Yeah, go check it out.
They have a magnet that is an anti-magnet, so I don't know how to explain other than that. So when aluminum comes through, it pushes it off. Like the magnet pushes the aluminum. So
it's the most valuable stuff.
It's very cool. And that was the old system. I haven't even seen the new one. I saw the old one. And yeah, it's the largest,
most
state of the
art. It might be worth going and taking a look.
Yeah.
In the U.S.
Because they said.
Yes.
Go on that date.
Get a hot dog at 7-Eleven and head around.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Cool.
To Los Angeles. Megan,
oh,
by the way, department. Was this part of the budget thing to get a second one?
No,
this is
my fail safe because you know me and I'm very forgetful about that stuff. So
I like it. It looks good.
And then I don't ever I try to do it so I don't have to transfer it onto my computer and then transfer it to the county website. So that way I can just do it.
Looks good. Right, one last thing, Sammy. We'll get to you. This is a real quick.
Okay.
This is a quick question. I refer to my real estate people because you guys usually know it. I'm assuming that in the paper for a while they had the land sale and close your ears, Megan, Gypsum Resources. It just says for sale through the bankruptcy, 90 acres, which I'm assuming is where the big signage is right there. But where is the 89 acres of the of residential?
Right across the way, right across. Where the
ponds are?
Where the treatment, yes.
Yes.
Where the ponds are.
All around our wastewater.
Okay, contiguous,
yeah.
or really, a residential?
Yeah, our wastewater treatment ponds are in the middle of that plot.
Wow. Okay. Yeah, I was trying to look for it.
Prime real estate.
I was on the other side of the street. I didn't think it would be by the ponds. Okay, it's right there. Okay. If anybody supposedly this bids are due on August 25th. If you guys hear anything,
it's actually changed now to September 30th.
Oh, okay.
There you go.
So you still have more time to put your bid in,
October
4th. No, I don't have that many zeros at the end. No, because I was just curious if when they sold that 71, 72 acre lot by Cactus Jones over there that they own to, is it American West? I was just wondering if American West was probably going to, just out of curiosity.
They're a candidate for sure.
One other thing. So yeah, I was just curious when I kept seeing that. I'm going, oh, okay, interesting. Well, thank you. That's it.
What newspaper were you looking at?
RJ.
That's not New York. No, it was the RJ. It was in just
historic
from July 26th through August 7th. It was in just about every day.
I haven't seen a physical RJ in years.
So
what is this?
Going to move on to planning and zoning and talk about Transform Clark County.
All
right. I guess that's Sammy Steele.
Yep. So I saw in the minutes from the July 30th, was that right? That maybe give you a quick little update on Transform Clark County and that we were wrapping up the land use map. So what we wanted to do, if you guys want to see.
We're just come on around.
So, let me do this. I brought one for Calico Basin in case you wanted to see it. It's less exciting. So for the land use maps, what we are doing is, I can't breathe on this one, I brought the wrong one, so I apologize. We are going around to all the town boards and CACs and showing them the changes to the land use maps that are proposed as a result of the renaming and kind of shuffling of some of the categories for our land use plan designations. And what this map shows is this shows the current plan land use and it shows the proposed plan land use. I will say, I can get down to the details, but I will say really they're just name changes. There's no changes in density, there's no changes in use. What we were trying to do is do a one-to-one, I don't want to even say it's a change, literally a one-to-one replacement of the old category names to the new category names. And then, keeping the densities the same and the uses the same. So, for instance,
what was the purpose of making the changes then?
To update our land use plan and the categories to make it more current to today, to make it more reflective of the situation. The land use categories haven't been updated. So let me go back in time. Our comprehensive master plan was originally adopted in, I think it was the 70s, and it hasn't been comprehensively updated since. So if you go on our website, you can see that there's different chapters, you have to go to different documents for all the different planning areas, and a lot of the category names were just reflective of kind of, I don't want to say an old way, but they weren't current, I guess is the best way to say it. They don't really reflect what's on the ground today. And then we also wanted to kind of make sure that we interject some new names with some better descriptions to them to reflect the current situation of the areas. And I will admit, so this red, while it's still commercial, now it's called corridor, let's see, what is it? Corridor mixed use. Now, mixed use just means a mixture of uses. It's not to mean that it is to be residential. Okay, so it's not the mixed use in that sense. It just means that it's a mixture of uses. And you can see this is the little commercial area here. It's basically just taking the place of the general commercial or the commercial general designation today. And then the open land, open land is still going to be open land. Public facilities will be public facilities. So what we're doing is anything that's USA BLM is going to be called open land. Anything that's county will be public facilities. And so we'll differentiate between what's open land, as in BLM land, and then what's public facility, as in county owned. Generally, that means that there is some type of use for the public, not that BLM land is not for, to be used for the public. It's just open land. And the different designations within the town of Blue Diamond and then out here, again, literally they're just name changes. They're not changes to the density. Nobody's getting an increase to density as a result of this. And nobody's getting downzoned as a result, or I don't want to say downzoned, but down designated as a result of this. Industrial will still be industrial. I forget what this light tan one was. Rural neighborhood will still be rural neighborhoods. We have the, this is the existing. So these neighborhoods within here will still be the designation they are today in terms of the allowable density. So again, it's really just a one-to-one change, just the name change. And then with it, with the name change, then comes what we like to say is a better description of what each of those categories are in the master plan that was released in terms of a draft that was made available for comment. But we wanted to, again, bring the maps out to all the town boards and the CACs just so you can see that on paper, the colors are different, the names are different, but the bottom line uses and densities are the same.
So. For you guys, there aren't a lot of changes. Well, for you guys, it doesn't. There's not much of an effect. In town, there are definitely some changes because, you know, the style of development has changed over the years. So yeah, for you guys, it probably seems like a fruitless, you know, all this time spent for nothing. In town, it's much more of a big deal. And be glad. Be glad.
So, yeah, so yeah, I want to ask you, Megan, because you live in a rural area too. Do you have any concerns at all for the rural areas of these?
I had one major concern, and that's been taken care of.
Yep.
So no.
The one about the density.
About the density, yeah, and
I can explain. So our intent with that was to have a general designation, but then have density layers within it. To me, and if, you know, for instance, I'll just use, if it is on public water, then it can have a higher density. If it's not on public water, meaning that it's not within a service area, like literally public water, within a service area, then they would have to have a lower density, meaning bigger lot sizes. Because what we wanted to try to do, which we didn't do very successfully, was also minimize the number of land use designations that we have. We literally have what we see as kind of a one-to-one land use designation for uses. And that goes all the way from the range of residential to the range of commercial to the range of industrial. And not well received, so we heard the message. And I think that sometimes the unknown can be scary, even though we felt comfortable. So we went back and added some designations. So we were unsuccessful in trying to minimize our land use designations and keep it more to, you know, policies and rules and guidelines to guide really what the development would be. And now we're back to more of a one-to-one, which is fine. It is what it is.
So yeah, so out here we're not changing, and that's the way we like it.
Yep. And I want to say thank you. Yeah. Actually,
Megan, it's my understanding that you had a lot to do with forcing this particular thing.
Well, I don't know about that, but I was more vocal.
I just wanted to say I really appreciate your efforts.
I can tell you, it concerned me personally because I live in a rural area, and I live in one of a large lot rural
areas.
Well,
me too, and I really felt we were being ignored on that, and I kind of got the sense that you were the final.
Well, thank you.
And again, we heard you. We had a different plan for how to address the concern. It's done in other places. In other places there isn't necessarily a one-to-one.
Yeah,
and I got that. And I get that.
I know that by now.
Let me tell you, Sammy, because I was the most vocal about it, and I get that 100%. But we have seen in rural areas what can happen, and I'm not willing to chance it. I was not willing to chance it.
I mean, I complained about it pretty bitterly on one call and got seriously chastised for even daring to speak my mind, you know, so.
Well, they heard us, and the process worked.
Yep.
Good.
The process absolutely worked.
Yep.
The mixed use, would that be the land use plan where it would be considered a commercial neighborhood, commercial general?
So the corridor mixed use is really just the replacement for the commercial general.
Okay.
The
general.
Neighborhood commercial? No.
There's been changes in commercial. But
on that map, where is that red stripe?
Sorry, so the commercial commercial neighborhood is now neighborhood commercial. Really good names. I don't know why. But the commercial general that's today is now going to be the, like I said, the corridor mixed use. And when we look at it globally, it makes sense. When we look at it individually in terms of does the name itself really reflect maybe some of the areas that are outside the valley, and for instance, there's one in Searchlight where we have corridor mixed use. Well, it's on the 95, so it still works because it's a corridor. Now, you know, maybe this isn't a corridor, so we get it.
That's right here.
But the exercise that we want to do, because what we've committed to is we're not changing any density. Nobody is getting an increase in density. Nobody's getting a decrease in density. We're using logic in terms of trying to figure out, what stays open land, what goes public facilities, but otherwise really trying to keep the one-to-one. And then after the plan is adopted, then what we'll do is maybe go in and fix. Maybe this isn't commercial mixed use anymore, or corridor mixed use. Maybe we take it down to neighborhood commercial, which is just really, you know, more descriptive of what this is, and it's the same uses that you would have out there anyways. The exercise for changes to the map outside of a one-to-one translation will occur after the plan is adopted, and allow those to happen individually, plan-based, and then also, just as anything else, will allow for people to come in as well and change the plans just as we can today.
What is the brown on there?
So the brown is outlying neighborhoods. So that is the one dwelling unit per 2 acre designation.
Okay. I got a curious question, and I'm not sure if you can answer this, and I may need your help on this, Megan, when we had the neighborhood meeting a couple months ago, and the property down...
Wallop High and
right down around here. And he wanted to put in trailers and stuff like this, but they were going to change it to commercial?
Yes. And that brought up something that the commissioner and I are going to have to work with planning on. We haven't talked about this yet,
yeah.
But it's the whole swath of H2.
Oh, so H2 is the antiquated zoning.
There's a lot of stuff that's allowed in H2 by use permit that I did not realize, and
it's
the commissioner didn't realize.
H1. Yeah.
So yeah, it's we're going to have to look at that and figure out how we're going to handle that.
Yeah. So. What our general rule is if somebody comes in on vacant land that's H2, what we try to do is get them to rezone it to an appropriate zone, one that exists today, because the H2 hasn't existed since, I think, Title 30 was adopted. So it's not even an option anymore for somebody to propose a rezone to, but instead of going through and cleaning up all the zoning when that designation or that zoning district was removed from the zoning ordinance, they just left it. And then treated it very similarly to an H1, where really anything's allowed as long as you have a special use permit. But what we've been trying to do, and something that we're going to even put a little bit more teeth behind in the development code update, is we really want to get rid of that H2. It doesn't exist. It's not good zoning. It's never good to plan just by special use permit in that sense. So we want to encourage the redesignation of those properties and maybe incentivize people saying, we'll do it for free. Like, but you just need to include it in your proposal. And we have to think that through, right? We don't want to do a bad proposal.
And we need
free,
to decide what's appropriate fronting on Blue Diamond Road,
right,
and Wallop High.
Right.
You know, what's appropriate there? I don't think anyone wants to live fronting on Blue Diamond. So what is an appropriate transition? I don't know.
Yeah,
we don't know.
Because that would be something. Recently, one of the neighbors on Fortney, he was partially H2 and partially RU, and I think it cost him over $1,000. And what he wanted to do was, he said he wanted to have chickens, animals, because he wasn't allowed to have it. So he applied to have the whole thing RU and get rid of H2.
Yeah, and we've had several of those along Blue Diamond,
yeah.
Obviously more towards the west end of Blue Diamond, where they want to have zoning that's consistent with the other half of their property, or you know, whatever
right.
It is. And so we've seen a slow transition, but again, in my opinion, I think what should have happened back in the day is that they did a better effort and were more proactive about really getting rid of the H2
yeah.
when they got rid of it.
And we ran into it here in town with the dual zone.
That's a different issue. But
I'm just saying. With something to look at, further on down the line.
Yeah. So when we get to the development code, I would say pay particular attention to, you know, be on the lookout for it. It's on our radar.
Good.
But
good.
I can tell you probably a million things are on our radar to make
sure
we take care of. And
you've got job security.
Sorry. Yeah. So don't forget about that one. Go home, write it down on a sticky, and keep it next to your.
And we're going to be discussing Title 30 coming up and the changes to Title 30. So if there's things that have happened over the years, I've been doing this myself too. What things have come up over the years that seem odd, that don't seem fair? Because there are some things, like in a rural area, to have an accessory apartment, it's a manufactured home. You have to do a waiver or something, even though the house on the property is already a manufactured home. So, I mean, just there's little tweaks like that don't seem fair, is where I'm getting with that. But start thinking about things that you've seen come through here that didn't make a lot of sense, and we can start talking about those things.
We have about a million of those.
Yeah.
Okay, are we talked out on this?
I think Laura's doing a great job of holding that up. You get double pay.
Your money's worth.
Other duties as assigned.
Yeah. So we're not asking for a vote. We really just wanted your comments. You can vote if you want, but again, we're not asking for a vote. As Megan said, you know, I kind of volunteered to come out here for a number of reasons. Selfishly, I don't live too far, but also. I was like, can't be the ones that are the one-to-one. And everything's one-to-one.
And we were really concerned about the density thing, so it's good to know.
It's less colors that I have to worry about.
We can stop worrying.
I get confused. I can't even. There's more colors in here than you would think.
Yeah.
But I just want to say, nothing's really changing. Yeah.
Good.
Except for the name.
Right. Well, thank you so much for coming and sharing that with us.
You are welcome. And I'm sure you'll see more of me in the future as we continue down the efforts to transform Park County.
All right, for the better.
Thank you.
Okay, next we have a budget cycle.
Oh, that's right. I'm sorry, I've been up since 3:30 this morning on another one. Okay, budget stuff, and I had it printed for last month, but I don't think I bought it. So we had a couple things left over from before that was from last year, and I will bring them next week. Next month. One of the things was a bike trail area, which we're getting as a part of the Legacy Trail. So we can take that off the list.
Thanks, Sammy.
I know we wanted a tot lot playground area, and none of this stuff has been funded yet. So moving the dots on Arroyo, which I still will put on there and I still will fight for, but you know, we are.
If you could get them to tell us why they keep saying that that's not possible, that would really be useful.
I did get an explanation the first time. I don't remember it, but I'll go back in my emails and find it. But
yeah,
he did give us an explanation.
It's in their rules that because of the lines of sight, they have to.
Yeah, and
I don't remember ever seeing that. Maybe I did, but.
I talked about it. Yeah, because.
Yeah. We looked into it at one point, and we were like, nope, we can't take it off.
Yeah,
I think they're extenuating circumstances. I think they're actually unsafe.
Okay.
I tend to agree
with you, too.
If you can get in writing what the reason is, then I can.
Then we can.
I can take that to somebody's boss.
Sure. So, with the budget stuff, really, this is just to talk about it, get your creative juices flowing, if there are things you want for the community. And you already have a lot of the stuff that other towns ask for.
Right.
So if there are specific things you can think of, yes?
Is there anything the county can do to help us with that spot at the top of Cerrito and the trailhead?
I don't think so because it's BLM land, but I can work with, do you have a contact at NV Energy?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Well, that would be how I could help, is get them in touch with NV Energy. But it's, no, we don't have any, we can't do anything.
So you don't have any land there that's county?
I don't believe so. No. It's private or BLM. So no, that's why I let Josh.
We've talked about this in the past, but curbs would be nice because every time the rain comes down, especially towards the bottom of the hill, all the washes out. Yeah, I do.
Yards actually are in the road.
Right, and
so
that's the problem because the roads are not.
Determine that.
Yep. This is a be careful what you wish for.
30% into the road.
Yeah.
I knew there was a reason we dropped it. Just can't remember what it was.
Yeah, I mean, I'll put it on there, but you get to fight the neighbors that are going to lose. I'll say Trent did this. But yes, it would help with washouts. It would help with a lot of stuff.
But
it also would hurt a lot of stuff.
You're right.
Okay. Can we talk about lighting? Low lighting?
Well, we have replaced them all, but if there are ones that still need service, you need to tell me and we'll switch them out.
Okay, didn't you say we're going to have an opportunity to become a night sky?
That was passed at the legislature. They are still crafting that. And as soon as the application process is ready, I'll bring that to you. Because you guys in Mount Charleston are definitely very interested in that. And
isn't the night sky thing already part of the Red Rock overlay?
No.
It's not low-level lighting is, but not specific night sky regulations. Okay. And that's what was passed at the legislature.
Some of them are aligned.
Right. But this would be
street lights and things.
An additional layer. Mm-hmm. So... yeah, they're still working on that. I do have two of my town board members up in Mount Charleston are actively working on that, so they're keeping me updated on it, because they want to be the first to apply. So you have to fight them for that, but they really want to do that. So I, as soon as that process is ready, they approve the process to develop the process, you know. As soon, well, you have to make a plan for this plan, you know. As soon as that's ready, I'll bring it to you.
There, so the donkey guard at the top of Arroyo and...
Oh, I saw that on driving in, yeah.
It's still knocked over.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, it's gotten even more flattened than it was when it was first reported. So it's a good thing they didn't bother fixing it, because it would have gotten...
I know. Well, they didn't. I didn't send that one in. I apologize. I try. I try.
You do
I do the best I can do. I got a lot going on, so.
Always.
Anything else on budget?
Can we have Public Works come out? And I know they seal the roads in Blue Diamond about every 7 years. Can they look at some of the other roads? For example, Wallapai, I know that's relatively new. That's been paved. But to look at some of the other roads?
We could put that on there, but I will tell you, they have a whole system of grading roads, or rating them, and they have a whole schedule. So there's certain roads that they rotate through. So I can ask them to speed it up. Chances are they aren't going to be able to squeeze it in, because they have it all set up throughout the entire county.
Okay.
So we can put that on the list if you feel there's a certain road that needs attention. But generally, when it gets to their level of needing, they grade them like a 1, 2, 3 or something. And when it gets to that level, that's when they work on it. So unless it's something severe. And if you ever have potholes or things like that, don't wait to the budget cycle. Just take a picture, send it to me, because they'll fix those in 1 to 2 days.
Okay.
So yeah, if it's something like that, that, you know, that's not a whole thing. That's just an everyday thing.
Okay.
So this is that item is for discussion only.
Because it's a two-step process.
Okay.
So this is just to start the discussion.
Oh, okay.
To get your creative juices flowing.
Okay.
The whole goal is to have a whole bunch of audience members here.
Yeah.
And for them to start thinking and then discuss it among the community and then come back next month with all sorts of ideas.
The octopus and the
So that's the whole thing. Okay. This one is to review ones from the past, right. Start talking about it. Next month, we compile the list and you guys vote on it.
Okay.
It's a two-step process.
Anything else on that? So next we have comments by the general public, and I want to be the first on that one.
Well, you're the chair. You go for it.
Yeah. Which is, I'm glad that BLM is still here. I have a concern about the process that we went through with the Jim Rhodes. Well, I have multiple concerns, but the one I want to talk about is that it troubles me that the application was approved with very little discussion, with no discussion about access, because they've got to get access through BLM lands to their property. And I could hear in my mind a commissioner saying, well, yeah, I mean, I can vote yes now, but the BLM's never going to give them access, so it's not going to happen. But I could also hear in my mind later on down the roads, somebody saying, well, of course the BLM has to give them access because the county approved this housing development. And so I'm not really wording it all that well, but I hope that...
What's the catch-22? It always is catch-22 for every development. Every single development that has to get access from BLM, it's catch-22. Which one do you approve first, the road or the development? So that is not unique to this situation at all, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. This, that is, it's, you know, which it's the chicken and the egg.
They have access right now. The mining operation has access. They have legal access to a commercial organization or operation through the mining operation. They have legal access. So,
which doesn't mean that they have legal access for 200 homeowners, right?
They don't. They only have legal access for the mining
operation. For the mine, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I will say, if you watch, I know Bob does, watch the commission meetings, access usually is not discussed on most subdivisions because it's a condition. They don't usually discuss conditions like providing power to the subdivision, because that's a condition. You're not going to move ahead without it. So those types of things usually are not discussed on any subdivision.
So I guess I'll close my comment by saying I think that those things need to become discussed as we get further and further down the road with climate change and with scarce resources, just because zoning is acceptable for some proposed housing development doesn't mean it should get built, and all of those factors should come into consideration. The can shouldn't be getting kicked down the road by the commissioners. Okay, thank you. Anybody else?
Well, one last thing, since you were talking about the meeting, which I did watch, it's just an observation. Ron Crater, somebody must have got to him say as little as possible, because I was surprised when I watched it that he
it was
hardly,
curious, wasn't it?
He hardly
he didn't
he
try
hardly,
to sell his thing at all.
I had a feeling that the lawyers might have said something to him, but it was just an observation.
He was curious at the same one.
That's all that was. When they said, "Mr. Crater, you want to answer anything?" He goes, "No."
Well, I thought the same thing, because I thought we're in it for the long haul, because he likes to talk.
I told my wife, I said, I'm going to be watching this probably for, if you don't need a computer, she goes, no. I said, I'm going to be here for a while. And I saw you, Barbara, Pauline, I did believe John Hyatt, spoke, and then another person from Save Red Rock. And I'm going, I kept looking at the line. I'm going, there's not a line there. This isn't going to be a 6-hour meeting. But it was just weird. It wasn't the wrong creator that used to. That was it. Just a mild observation there.
Any other comments?
No.
Okay, our next meeting is September 29th, so we get 2 this month. And we're adjourned. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.